Hello and welcome to Talking Trading. I'm Caroline Stephen. It's great to have you join us. Exchange-traded funds and high-frequency trading account for 90% of the daily turnover on the New York Stock Exchange. Trading giant Darryl Guppy joins us to discuss these phenomena and their effects on the markets. We also find out what London's financial district is up to with Atomic Time. And Louise Bedford gives us some insights into the mentor program. But first up, here's the news for the week ending 26th of September with economist and Sky Business News commentator, Jonathan Barrett. Good morning, Jonathan Barrett. How are you?
Very good, Caroline. How are you?
We're very well. How did the equity market close in New York on Friday?
Quite a volatile night, there's no doubt about it. But the Dow ended up 167 points after giving up close to 230 the night before. So there's a lot of volatility there in the market. And I guess when you look at some of the figures that came out, it was a little more inducive to support. But the trend that we're seeing is there's a lot of volatility at the high end of the market. So very hard to decide where, in fact, the direction is at the moment.
And what about the Australian market? How did that close on Friday?
The Australian market once again closed a little bit mixed, if anything. And I guess there are more concerns, mixed to lower, actually lower on the week, more concerns with what's happening with iron ore. Iron ore prices hit a five-year low. That sent more of a shiver through the mining sector. And as you start to get a sense that the mining sector is vulnerable to economic conditions coming out of China, those economic conditions are soft. So that's putting this bit of a swing back onto Australia. And as a result of that, you're getting some regional concerns there, and that's causing our market under pressure. So
let's talk about China. Let's go into that. Hong Kong and the market.
Well, I think this is one of another pressure point the market is going to have to contend with. And it's a pressure point there with, because there's a question in there of your democratic rights and what you can actually do. And when you look at the television, you see there's protests. When China took over Hong Kong, when the British gave it up, there were these certain conditions around it. And a lot of money in China came to Hong Kong and invested in Hong Kong. And that's why we had a huge, big move on the markets, property prices and all that. That's currently being questioned. So what we feel could occur is more of an escalation there, which will provide a little bit of a bump in the market. So we actually feel the equity markets might take the actual brunt of the conflict, and you can see people exiting, having an exit strategy there, because it could escalate and it could be a little bit nasty. And that in itself will actually affect us at home.
And what about the Middle East?
Well, I guess if anything there, that continues to escalate. Let's see what the Prime Minister says today concerning our involvement there. I still feel that also has an ability to create this little bit of confidence problems in the market. You know, at the end of the day, you just can't put to silent 30,000 jihadist supporters. And my biggest fear is that goes underground and creates more of a wave. But, you know, obviously, the powers that be have all the information. Let's hope they're making the right decisions.
Let's jump back to our charts. Are there any patterns jumping out for you, Jono?
Yeah, there are. It's mainly to do with the commodity side. And I'm keeping a very close eye on oil and natural gas. Obviously, the Middle East is a concern. If that starts to move higher, that should help oil start to head back through that 100 level. And also natural gas with what's happening in Russia. Obviously, there, and that might create a little bit more pressure. So when I look at some of the commodities, those risk-averse type of commodities are the ones I'm actually focusing on, because I feel that they've all had big corrections. And I wouldn't even mind looking at gold at these levels again as well. 1,200, 1,210 are very supportive for gold. Breaks at that level, should go lower. But if it holds, I think we've got a reasonable base.
Hot and cold sectors?
Look, I actually think given the geopoliticals around the world, I think generally it'll be, I guess, soft across the board. And that's been a theme we've been talking for the last month or so, that if you do get these rallies, it's always good to nip some profits and just see, because there's a lot of uncertainty out there at the moment, and that's why you're seeing a lot of volatility. So I'm in the mood, if you see the rally, grab some profits.
Are there any opportunities that you are looking at this week?
Yep, still very focused on the agricultural sector. You know, when you look at prices there, particularly your corns and your wheats, and we're in Australia coming up to harvest, and we don't actually feel the harvest will be as good as what people expect. So I'm looking at the agricultural markets at the moment, because I think they're a long, a good opportunity for a long time.
And why won't the harvest be as good as expected?
I guess it boils down to that weather issue and the chance and possibility of some rain over harvest, and that's a big focus, and that's what we're actually seeing. I've been in the country for the last week and again this week, so I'll be actually having a good review as to what's happening there, and the expectations are that I'll be a little bit lower, particularly the harvest will be a little bit lower, New South Wales, Southern Queensland, and Northern Victoria. So that might provide some support there.
And what's your overall advice for traders this week?
I think because we're in a ranging market, I would sort of looking for more of that short-term trade. I don't think it's the right time to position yourself for a good move, unless it's more clear. Let's see what some of the economic data, particularly out at the end of this week with the unemployment, comes in at out of the US, and if that's the case, that might give a lead to break out of this range and into a trend. So I think it's more short-term trading opportunities at the moment.
Jonathan Barrett, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Carolyn. Have a good day.
Sick of being the smartest person in the room? Tell your friends about the Talking Trading podcast and let them come to the party too. TalkingTrading.com.au. Earlier this year in New Scientist magazine, I came across an article on high-frequency trading, that phenomenon that has flooded the market since 2008. Financial institutions across London currently keep their own slight time difference, and HFT traders exploit the gaps. Atomic clocks in the UK are soon to be hardwired into London's financial district in an attempt to prevent high-frequency trading. The FBI has recently initiated investigations as to whether HFT traders have an unfair advantage over traditional traders. But, as trading giant Daryl Guppy says, high-frequency trading is here to stay. Daryl Guppy is the inventor of the Guppy Multiple Moving Average. He is the best-selling author of many books on the share market, and he's a regular commentator and guest host on CNBC Asia Squawk Box, where he is known as the Chart Man. He is also a contributor to financial magazines and newspapers within Australia and Asia, and he is the CEO of Guppy Traders, a financial education organisation with offices in Beijing, Singapore and Darwin. I recently spoke to Daryl on the two phenomena, exchange-traded funds, or ETFs, and high-frequency trading, and their impact on the markets. Chartman, investment guru, trading giant Daryl Guppy, hello and welcome to Talking Trading.
Thank you.
What's contributing to the increased volatility of the markets these days?
Volatility has been driven by two important changes that have taken place since 2008. The first is exchange trade fund trading, and the second is high frequency trading. Now, we think that HFT is not really relevant to the retail trader, but in fact, it is.
Why are exchange-traded funds so popular?
They're popular because retail traders are terrified of the market. Yes, we've had a good dividend run recently, but you look at some of these stocks, they just drop like a stone. This is what really terrifies the retail investor or the retail trader. So what we're finding is rather than coming into the market as individual traders, they're coming into the market via ETFs. So instead of taking on individual stock risk, you're taking on the risk of the entire market, and that's much easier and much more comfortable.
How are ETFs contributing to volatility?
Well, the key factor with ETFs is two parts. First of all, if you look at New York Stock Exchange, trading volume attributable to ETFs is 40% of total daily turnover. Now, what's an ETF mean? Why is it increased volatility? Let's look at ourselves individually. We decide to hold a basket of four resource stocks. Let's call them A, B, C, and D. And we find that stock B is underperforming. It's a bit of a dog. So what we do is we sell it. It has no impact on stocks A or C or D. Now, if we're in an ETF, it's a different situation because maybe we've got a feeling at the resource it ought to be. So we want to either sell down our ETF position or maybe get out of that ETF position entirely. So what we do is we send a sell order to the ETF. And what the ETF does, it sells, and let's assume it has the same stocks as we're looking at individually, it sells stocks A, B, C, and D, not just the underperforming stock. And this is a key impact. When an ETF gets a sell order or a buy order, it must execute that order in proportion across all of the stocks that it owns. Now, in a sell order, what that means is that the poorly performing stocks get sold, but the stocks that are well performing also get sold down. Now, if ETFs are only a small portion of the market, that's not a big problem. But when you start talking a 40% market share taken by ETFs, then a sell order, a raft of sell orders going into an ETF, will kill all stocks in that ETF, irrespective of whether they are good or bad. And that increases volatility dramatically.
High-frequency trading. Do we need to worry about it, or is it just for a few of the fund managers?
Well, yes, we think it's just for a few of the fund managers. But again, let's go back to ETFs and look at the connection. ETFs concentrate on the top 100 or the top 200 stocks. They're looking for deep liquidity. So we got ETFs active in that area. High-frequency trading also needs deep liquidity to be able to work. So they're working in exactly the same area as the ETF. So how's a high-frequency trader work? How's it different? What it really is high-speed, legalized front-running. It applies to large stocks only. Now, front-running in the old days meant that you put your order into your broker. The broker knew you were a good trader, so he'd sneak his order in front of you, and he would get to the market first, and then your order would be second in line. That's illegal. Now what happens is the high-frequency trader sees your order as it moves between the broker and the market, or between your execution and the market. It's sub-second stuff. And they get in front of the order. They execute in the market. So you end up having to buy or sell at a slightly worse price. Now, it's not just you. It's not something directed individually against you. It's looking at all the people who are trading in that area. So what it means is that HFE trading gets its front running. It gets in front of your orders and makes the market less efficient and more volatile. And when you had HFT trading working in exactly the same areas as the exchange-traded funds, the impact compounds. How important is HFT trading? Again, let's look at New York Stock Exchange. HFT trading accounts for 50%, 50% turnover. ETFs, 40%. Now, in my old days, 50 and 40 meant 90. So that means that 10% of activity in New York Stock Exchange is driven by what we would call normal retail trading and investing.
Do you see HFT becoming more common?
Oh, it's certainly becoming more common. The edge is disappearing. When HFT first came in, then there was a larger edge. That edge is narrowed down, but it's still there and it's here to stay. So if we look, for instance, at average holding periods, if we go back a few years, back to 2000, the turn of the century, the average holding period for a stock in New York was 4 months. Now, the average holding period for a stock is 22 seconds.
Mm.
That impacts dramatically on what we see. So what's the impact of these combined features? The impact is that it sucks liquidity out of the market. It concentrates it at different ends of the market. So what it really means, and the best way to look at it is, if we go back, say, prior to 2008, then liquidity was more or less evenly spread across the market. Yes, there was a greater depth of liquidity at the upper end of the market, blue chip stocks, even at the bottom end. You could generally get your orders filled in most cases. The liquidity was there. But the combined impact of ETF and HFT trading has meant liquidity has now shifted in the market. So what we find is that there is very high liquidity at the upper end of the market, the top 50 or 60, 100 stocks.
Dara, what changes have you made to your trading methods to handle the changed market conditions?
Ah, that's what I'm going to go to in the next step. So we've got all this liquidity concentrated at the top end, but it's an absolute desert in the middle and in the bottom end. Getting your order filled is difficult. What we see is classic chart patterns that used to work very effectively, now take much, much longer to complete. So an upward sloping triangle breakout might take 4 or 5 weeks to reach its targets rather than 3 or 4 days as it used to. That's if you can get a position to buy and if you can get a position to exit. So what's it mean? It means two things. What are the consequences, as you were asking? The first consequence is that we've had more of a focus on trading CFDs and other derivatives because time in the market now becomes a major risk factor. So by trading a CFD, we can pick up this volatility and we can limit our time and maximise our return from that period. The second approach we've used is we've looked at trading FX markets, and we've not traded FX to any great extent before, but we started doing some work in cooperation with some traders out of the UK, and we developed what we call the ANTS system. And that brings together a better understanding of price activity. We use a range bar chart as our underlying chart. We put Guppy multiple moving average across the top, which increases the reliability of the signals. Then we use our ANTS algorithm to identify the buy window and buy and sell signals. Then we use an average true range calculation that's based on the range bar chart and use that as a trailing stop loss and protect profit. And what we find is that that's increased the reliability of the signals and the way of trading FX quite dramatically. It gives us tremendous advantages. And the key factor with FX markets is that liquidity is not a problem. We can buy the size that we want and we can get the dollar returns that we want within a limited time frame. So the time risk is also taken out.
Daryl Guppy, what makes you tick as a trader?
That's not a question I was anticipating, Carol. What makes me tick as a trader? It's the intellectual challenge. The markets are always changing. So trying to get on top of the markets, trying to extract some money from the markets before it extracts money from you, that's the challenge. The markets are always changing. You have to look at what you're doing today and modify it so that it continues to work tomorrow and the day after. The structure of the markets change, and if you don't change in reaction to that, then you're dead. And let's go back for a moment. The last big change we saw in the markets was in 1929 with the market crash. About Richard Maynard Keynes and general theory of money and all that sort of Keynesian economics. That grew out of an analysis of the 1929 crash. We look at the 2008 crash, which is of the same dimensions, and we have yet to find any new methods of analysis or understanding of markets and markets behavior. We're still trading on methods that we're using before 2008. And if you're going to survive, you have to work out how the differences are there, what changes need to be made if you're going to continue to survive, not just for this year, but going forward 5 or 10 or 15 years. The markets are different, so the way we approach them has to be different.
Projected trend of the market.
Oh, the trend of the market's easy. It's going to go up. Why? Because indexes are the biggest con game in the world. You look at the Australian All Ordinaries Index or the 200. Let's take XJO 200. The components of the XJO 200 today are not the same as they were 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. They change every quarter. So, of course, the index is only made up of winners. If you can't win, you get dropped from the index and a winner gets added. So, of course, the index over time is always going to increase. Now, that's where I like ETFs because I can take an ETF and I have multiple ETF open positions on indexes because in the long term, they will always rise just because of their structure.
Final piece of advice for traders.
I think the most important thing to understand is that markets don't stand still. They change in their structure. They change in their execution. There was a golden period, if you want to call it that, between about, let's say, 1996, 97 through to probably about 2005 or 6, where there was a democratization that took place in the markets, where we could realistically believe that as individual, independent traders, we had pretty much a level playing field in terms of technology. That's changed. High-frequency trading, we can't compete in that area. Algo-driven trading becomes much more difficult for the retail trader to participate in. The market still remains a place where you are going to get better returns from your capital than you will from other alternative investment products, but there is more volatility there. So we have to look at ways to treat volatility as a friend, make it work for us, rather than volatility as an enemy.
Daryl, is there something you'd like to offer our listeners?
Yes, there certainly is. We'd like to give them a package, a choice of three packages. First of all, everyone gets a fully detailed explanation of the ANTS trading system I was talking about, and that's applied to FX, to E-minis, to gold, and to oil. And then there's a choice of three packages. First, we're giving people either one or two DVDs with a 10% discount. That's a two DVD set exploring technical analysis, and then another one looking at pattern trading for profits. Or, the second package, they can buy both DVDs with a 25% discount, or a third package, if they decide to take out a 12-month newsletter subscription, then they can buy the two DVDs at 60% discount.
Daryl Guppy, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Carolyn.
Louise Bedford here. I want to talk to you about the mentor program today because this month is decision time. you need to decide not whether you want to join the mentor program, because you don't have enough information yet to know whether this is the right step for you. You need to decide whether you should register on tradinggame.com.au/priority notification so that you can get the scoop about when we're opening the mentor program for bookings. You see, everything we do is focused around our traders. Around 15 years ago, we simply said, what can we do to ensure that every one of our traders receives an extraordinary education about the markets in an inspiring, supportive environment that maximises their chances of achieving their goals? And it's amazing the magic that flows from that premise. The mentor program was born from that premise. We believe that challenges are a good thing. The harder you work, the more challenges you face, and the stronger you become. It's the only way you'll live a life of significance. We stick with our traders as they face their challenges. It's a culture of caring. It's a culture of generosity. Mark my words, the ingredients of the mentor program profoundly influence the person you are becoming, your character, your ambitions, and the way that you live your life day to day. You don't just sit in a classroom and learn the content. To trade well, you must apply the content. And that doesn't happen if you do one weekend course. That's why our traders can repeat the mentor program for free as many times as they like, with us right by their side every step of the way. That's also why we limit numbers, because we can't give ourselves to everyone fully in our community unless we keep the numbers small. We've invested our life's work in the mentor program. It's something that Chris Tate and I have taken very personally. You see, after a certain point, money for money's sake does not excite you. It's at that point where Chris and I looked for a new challenge, a new passion, a new way of spreading our ideas into the world. And that's why we started the mentor program in around the year 2000. It's been running continually ever since. My work is intended to help others do what they want to do in their lives. My life is about serving others, and I hope for some, an elite group, that I'm a model and a mentor too. When my purpose helps your purpose, then we are as one. It's a mutual commitment. This month is decision time. Yes, I know the mentor program isn't for everyone, and I realise that not everyone has the fire in their belly that pushes them to excel as a trader. However, if you feel a tiny little bubble of excitement about the thought that earning money from the markets could be for you, the time is right for you. Go to tradinggame.com.au/priority notification and register. tradinggame.com.au/priority notification. You see, I'm going to give you a heap of free trading resources, and I'll guarantee you that I'll give you the heads up about when you can book into next year's mentor program. You see, unless you're registered for priority notification, you'll simply miss out. Go and check it out right now. That link again is tradinggame.com.au/priority notification. It's free to register, and I'm 100% sure that you'll love it.
That's all we have for you today, guys. I'd like to thank our contributors, Daryl Guppy, Jonathan Barrett, and Louise Bedford. Stay tuned next week for the international motivational speaker, Paul McGee, the sumo guy, to hear his philosophy for successful living. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team here, thanks for your company. See you next time.
You've been listening to TalkingTrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary, and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.